Welcome to Oasis. We're so glad you're with us tonight. Every Saturday at 7 o'clock, we come together and we worship God. We sing a few songs. We open up the scripture and see what God has for us. And so we're really glad you're with us tonight to worship. Let's all stand up together. We're going to start with Majestic.
Majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give. Majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give. God, greater than all we see.
Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We pray that tonight that you'd be honored in this place. You'd be glorified by the words of our songs, the music we sing, and our attitude in our hearts, Lord. Tonight, as we open up the scripture, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us to transform our lives into something that glorifies and honors you. In Jesus' name.
Oh, no.
Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you praise. Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Tomorrow's going to be graduation Sunday. We usually do this a lot earlier in the year, but we've had a little bit of trouble. But anyway, tomorrow's graduation Sunday, so tonight is graduation Saturday, and we have one graduate. So Megan, would you like to come up here? Come on up. Well, Megan graduated from high school, right?
Yes.
Just recently. Congratulations. And the church has just a little something for you. It's an engraved Bible in your name, and I wrote a little something in there, so, you know, congratulations. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome. Well, who's glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
You guys want an airplane? I don't even know if this thing will fly. That's my kids, I think. Obviously, they need some more instructions in aerodynamics. We'll take care of that this week. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our series on habits of a healthy Christian and what it means to be healthy. And it goes beyond just spiritual health. Most of us kind of grasp that we need to be spiritually healthy. I believe in you tonight. I believe that you probably came here because in some way you want to honor God with your life. You want to know God. You want to glorify Him. You likely wouldn't just kind of show up unless that was kind of your desire. Now, some of you may have been drugged here by your parents or by someone else or a relative. But I still believe in you, and you're going to be okay there because someone really loves you enough to kind of bring you here, and they're probably praying for you, and so you probably have very little hope of making it outside of God's plan for your life, and that's good stuff. So tonight I want to kind of start from this perspective that you want to be a healthy Christian, that you desire to be a healthy Christian. That's what our series is all about. So, but being healthy isn't really easy. If it were, then we would be talking about it. We wouldn't have a problem with it. It wouldn't be something we need to cover or establish in any way. And it's all too easy to get in the habit of consuming the wrong things in our life, right? Anybody ever have a bad habit? Mm-hmm. I'm drinking water instead of coffee. Yay me. It's only because I couldn't find my coffee mug. So, habits are very powerful. You know, we start to do the wrong thing maybe, or to take in something that we shouldn't, and then before we know it, we've got a habit, and it's this thing that keeps happening. And how habits are both powerful and very delicate at the same time. I recently read a book called The Power of Habit: Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business. And here's a little video clip from the author that kind of talks about this idea of habit.
Imagine for a moment that you have a habit that you really want to change. Let's say, for instance, you go up to the cafeteria every afternoon and you eat a chocolate chip cookie. This habit has caused you to gain a little bit of weight. In fact, this habit has caused you to gain exactly 8 pounds, and your wife has started making some pointed comments. And when I say you, what I really mean is me, because this is a habit that I had that I just couldn't kick. To understand why that habit was so powerful and what it would take to change it, I had to learn how habits work. Every habit functions the same way. At first, there's a cue, some type of trigger that makes the behavior unfold automatically. Studies tell us that a cue can be a location, a time of day, a certain emotional state, other people, or just a pattern of behaviors that consistently triggers a certain routine. To figure out the cue for my craving, I spent a few days tracking exactly when the urge to eat a cookie hit. And what I noticed pretty soon was something interesting. The cookie craving always hit about between 3 o'clock and 3:30 in the afternoon. That was my cue. It was a certain time of day. The next part in the habit loop is the routine, the behavior itself. And for me, that was pretty easy to figure out. Every day between 3 and 3:30, I'd get this craving for a cookie. I'd get up out of my chair. I'd walk over to the elevator. I'd take the elevator up to the 14th floor. I'd get out, I'd buy a cookie, and then I would eat it while talking to my colleagues in the cafeteria. The last part of the habit loop is the reward. And in some respects, the reward is the most important part, because that's why habits exist, so that we can get the rewards that we want. But figuring out a reward is kind of tricky. To figure out what reward was driving my habit, I did a little bit of an experiment. One day when the cookie urge struck, instead of going up to the cafeteria, I went outside and I took a walk around the block. Then the next day, I went up to the cafeteria, but instead of buying a cookie, I got a candy bar and then ate it at my desk. And then the day after that, I went up to the cafeteria again, but I didn't buy anything. Instead, I just talked to friends for about 10 minutes. You get the idea. What I was trying to do was test different hypotheses to figure out what reward I was actually craving. And what I figured out pretty quickly was it had nothing to do with cookies. It had to do with socializing. Nowadays, what happens is at about 3:30 in the afternoon, I absentmindedly stand up, I look around the office, I see a friend, I'll walk over and we'll gossip for 10 minutes, and then I'll go back to my desk. The urge to go get a cookie has completely disappeared. The new behavior has become a habit, and I've lost about 12 pounds as a result. Studies have shown that if you can diagnose your habits, you can change them in whichever way you want. So what are the cues, routines, and rewards in your life? What habit do you want to change? The power of habit.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Isn't that interesting, though? Isn't that incredible? So many times in my life, I've had bad habits, and my thought process was, I'm a horrible person because I have this horrible habit. And as Christians, we could get into this idea of, if I'm doing this sinful thing, and it's kind of automatic in my life, then I must be a horrible, rotten person. Like, I've got to be like demon-possessed or something. I need to pray about it. When maybe really all we really need to do is diagnose the situation and see what's going on in our brains and deal with the problem. And that's one of the things we're gonna talk about tonight. As a Christian, we have a lifelong process of identifying habits and then retraining them, the bad habits, retraining them into a way that honors and glorifies God with our life. And that's really what sanctification is all about. It's identifying these bad habits, these automatic responses in our life, and then retraining those through scripture reading, through what Romans chapter 12 calls the renewing of our mind, and retooling those habits, those cues, and those routines, and those rewards into something that honors and glorifies God with our life instead of just whatever's happening automatically. Because if we just let ourselves be on automatic, it's not going to be pretty, okay? Can you guys agree with me on that? Yeah? Yes, automatic isn't cool. So tonight I want to focus on the body part of the mind, body, and spirit. And I want to understand what it means to glorify God with our bodies. And this thing I do all the time isn't glorifying God. Maybe you're thinking that. You're thinking, I got this horrible habit. What you need to do is analyze it and retrain it. And so tonight we're gonna talk about two ways that we can glorify God with our body, and then if we have a little time, I might throw in an extra one, a bonus one. But I want to talk about two ways specifically that we can glorify God with our bodies. The two ways are this: allowance and denial. Allowance and denial. Both of these things, the two sides of the same coin, are things that we can use to glorify God with our bodies. So we're going to start with denial. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And if you're in an ESV, it should be on page 955. My wife told me, everybody's Bible's different. So it's going to be on a different page. But actually, ESV, all their pages are aligned together. So on your new Bible, if you turn to 955, is it there? Yeah? You're going to check it out? She's going to check it out. We're going to do a little test. You can get back to me when you get there. 955, okay? So I'm going to start reading in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. I will not be enslaved by anything. Okay? So we're talking about how do we glorify God with our bodies. The first category of how we do that is denial. If something has enslaved you, it is a bad habit. If something has grasped a hold of you and it's something that is not good and it consumes you, then it's a bad habit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. We're going to continue down through the rest of the passage. It says, food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Well, isn't that great? I mean, that's good to know. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Okay? It talks about this idea of sin against the body, and specifically sexually immoral acts. What is a sexually immoral act? There's nothing wrong with sex. Sex is great. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Have lots of sex, okay? Inside marriage. Inside marriage. That's the key. If you do it in God's way, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing that we should all enjoy in God's way, in His time. But anything outside of that, outside of the marriage relationship that God ordained and set up, that's sexual immorality. That's something that we need to stay away from. That includes bringing pornography into your marriage. That includes bringing another person into the marriage or anything like that, okay? One man, one woman, in marriage, together, have fun. But outside of that is sexual immorality, okay? It's important to understand that. Other things that can enslave us, things like maybe addictive drugs, you know? Something that you take and you don't really need it for a medical condition, but it's enslaved you, or you're doing it because of a habit or an addiction of some kind. For some people, maybe alcohol or tobacco or caffeine or even food can be something that can enslave you, that can kind of grab hold of you, and the next thing you know, you're using it or doing it, and you don't want to. Here's how you can kind of tell. Ask yourself this question. Does this thing control me? Okay? And I've had this conversation with people. You know, they're like, you know, yeah, I like to drink and stuff. And I'm like, well, is this controlling you? And some people say, no, not at all. And others will say, if I'm honest, yeah, it's got a hold of me. It's got a hold of me. And so that's an honest question you have to ask yourself. Does this thing control me? Another question. Do I automatically do this even when I don't really want to or need to? Do I automatically do this thing even when I don't want to or don't really need to? That could include going to get a cookie. You know, I'm not hungry. It's not in my diet. I don't need this thing. But I'm automatically finding myself just going and getting the cookie or the snack that I don't really need or want, right? That could be a cookie. Maybe it's a cigarette, you know. It's 300 below zero outside, okay? People walk outside and their entire body freezes into crystal and then shatters into a million pieces. And you're like, I gotta have a smoke. You know? Maybe that's a bad habit you need to get rid of, okay? Things like that. Or caffeine, you know. You find yourself screaming and yelling at people in the morning, and you justify it because you didn't have your cup of coffee, right? Not okay. Not okay at all. That thing probably has enslaved you or has control over you, or you're just lying. Here's a healthy way to think around these things. It is usually not the desire that is wrong, okay? It's not usually the desire that is wrong, but rather the response to the desire that is unhealthy. Like I said, the desire to have sex is not evil. It is not wrong. But the response to that could be. Okay? That's one illustration. A wrong response to a right desire will lead you to stumbling and compromising your integrity. And this is even in areas that are not traditional sins. Okay? These are areas that are maybe not super sinful. Like we talked about a cookie. Do you think you're going to burn in hell because you had a cookie that was over your calorie goal for the day? Nobody thinks that, right? Nobody's thinking that. Well, that's not like murder. I mean, my goodness, you know. But here's the thing. Say you're hungry, and so you develop a habit of grabbing whatever is convenient, which means McDonald's and fast food and whatever happens to be around. That's an improper response, and that becomes this just ongoing thing, and so you never get the right nutrients, you never take care of yourself and feed yourself well, and maybe you become overweight, and you're unable to do the things you really want to do in life, including serving at your church, or playing with your kids, or going on a mission trip, or whatever. Or you just become unhealthy, and you get heart disease and die before you're supposed to. You know, that thing can then become a stumbling block. It can control you. Or what about this? What if you're angry and so your response is, I'm going to go out and have a beer. I'm just mad. I just need to go get a drink. Right? Is there anything wrong with being angry? The Bible says be angry and sin not. Okay? But you're not dealing with your anger. You're instead, you have this cue, I'm angry. So then you have this routine of I'm going to go do this thing. And then, you know, the reward comes out of something else. Maybe it's having a beer or something like that. Or you're lonely and so you eat. You know? I feel lonely. I feel all by myself. I feel bored. And so I'm going to eat. Improper response to an okay desire. It's okay to feel lonely. Everybody feels lonely. You guys are laughing, right? Because that's like the traditional, stereotypical, like, dude, I do the same thing, all right? I'm at home. I'm bored. And so I'm like going to the pantry. Hey, what's going on? You know? What should I do? I should pick up the phone. I should text somebody. I should get on Twitter. I should go out and say, hey, you want to meet me for coffee? Like, call up somebody, you know? And fulfill that okay, healthy desire that you need to spend time with somebody or human people and have a connection instead of fulfilling it with the wrong desire. Is it sinful? Is it like evil to go and eat when you feel lonely? We wouldn't think that. But if we continually ignore our desires and we fulfill them with wrong rewards, it's going to lead us to a bad place. It's going to end up compromising our integrity. Maybe you're tired, so you grab the sugar stuff and the energy drinks instead of taking a nap. Or you're sick, and so instead of medicine and rest, you stay late at work. Or you're stressed, and instead of relaxing and spending time in meditation with God, you ignore the warning signs your body is giving you, and you truck on because you're strong. See how it can turn into pride? All these kinds of things, when we ignore the signs and the messages that our body is giving us, then it can lead us to stumbling and going down the wrong track. Denial is not about bad desires, okay? We talked about allowance and denial. This thing of denying yourself in order to honor and glorify God is not about bad desires. Denial is about unhealthy fulfillment of those desires. When the fulfillment of those desires is against God's law, okay? When the fulfillment of those desires is against God's law, then you need to deny that means of fulfillment and allow it to be filled in a healthy way. This is why the body is so important to being a healthy Christian. Because I think for a long time, the church especially, We come to church and we talk about the Bible, we read the scripture, and it's all spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. And we completely forget about walking around in a physical, like, body. And so we deny it, or we have bad habits, and as a culture, as a community, and churches, Baptists were well known for our huge potluck dinners, you know, and stuff, where we eat, like, the worst food known to man, but it's so good, right? We have this great thing, you know, and it's always got food involved, and I'm from the South, and my family is from the South, and they fry everything, you know, in the whole world, you know, and it's just, it becomes part of your culture, and it can be bad for you. So many times, we just ignore our bodies as Christians, and we truck on. How many of you have ever had a dashboard light come on in your car, like one of those red warning lights? Anybody? You guys, yeah? How many of you have one on right now and you're just ignoring it? Okay. How many of you have actually gone to the depths of getting out black electric tape to cover up the light, okay? I've heard that before. You know, it's the same thing. You get to this, there's something going on. I don't know. They just want to charge you money, so they're going to go in, you know, and that's true. They have them set to go off at a certain time, but the idea is the same. Our bodies give us these warning signals. Something's not right. Something's not okay. And so we go and eat.
I need to eat.
No, you're lonely, stupid. Go get some friends. Well, why don't I have friends? Because you're mean, okay? Because you're a bitter, mean person, and that's what you need to fix in your life, but you don't do that, so you just... You fill it with something else. You see what I mean? Like, you're totally missing out on the messages of God and as he's trying to talk to you because you're not listening to the desires going on. You know, maybe you can't let other people serve you. Maybe you have maybe you don't want to serve other people, whatever. There could be all kinds of things going on behind the scenes that God wants to work on in your life, but you're ignoring it, and instead fulfilling those desires with unhealthy ways. I know some of you, though, are probably thinking this. Well, Ron, isn't there honor in denying yourself, right? Jesus said, take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, right? Isn't there honor, great honor, in denying yourself? It's just great. You know, and the truth is, there is a time and a place for denying our physical wants and needs, such as fasting. But it's always for a specific reason in a specific time frame, okay? And that's okay, and that's great. And Scripture talks about fasting, where you go away and you set apart and you say, for this thing that is happening in my life, for this season, for a week or 3 days or whatever, I'm going to fast, and I'm not going to take in physical food so that I can focus on the spiritual. And that's good. But that's always for a specific purpose and a specific time frame. If this is your ongoing lifestyle and you're saying it's making me more spiritual, that's not good. One such reason is look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's another reason for denying yourself, a specific reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse number 23 through 33. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but for his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone and everything. I do not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So another reason for denying yourself is to deny yourself for the sake of another's conscience in their company. Okay? For instance, if I invite you to my house for dinner, most of you know I don't drink. Okay? I don't drink any kind of alcohol, never have, never will. I don't drink. So if you come to my house with a big bottle of wine, well, that's a very nice gesture. But it's not going to be something that I'm going to receive well. Does that make sense? And the specific case in this situation was meat offered to idols. Say if you went to Walmart and they got the filet mignon there and it's like $12.99 a pound. You're like, whoa, you know? And then over here they got filet mignon for $6.99 a pound. Hello, you know? And so you're like stocking up on the filet mignon, and then Nathan comes along and he's like, hey, Ron, you know why this meat's so cheap, right? No, dude, it's just a sweet deal. And he's like, they offer that to idols. And then they repackage it and sell it here. Sweet, dude. Awesome deal on the meat, man. You can't take that meat. That's been offered to idols. Don't we worship God, you know? Now, maybe in my heart, I'm like, so they set it outside in front of a rock for a little bit. I'm all into aged beef. It's okay. Like, that's not even a real God, you know? But Nathan's conscience in this situation and in this story would say, I could never eat that because it has been offered to an idol. And this was the situation. So Paul says, while you're in that company, when you go to that person's house for dinner, you don't indulge yourself. You deny yourself for the sake of that other person's conscience because you don't want to cause them to stumble. You don't want to rub in their face something that you enjoy. And just because it's okay, you know, and you should have nothing. No, that's dumb. That's really dumb. And it's ignorant, and we shouldn't do that as Christians. We shouldn't force our liberties upon other people. Okay? It doesn't mean that you can never have a glass of wine. What it means is don't bring me a bottle of wine. Make sense? Okay. The desire is not wrong, but the fulfillment can be. You should deny yourself if, just to recap, if it's against Scripture, sexual immorality, it's outside of God's allowance. It's just flat out against Scripture. You know, you're stealing or doing something illegal. Or if it will enslave you, it will control you, or if it will offend your brother, then you need to deny yourself that thing. Here's a warning, though. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And this goes back to the idea that we talked about of, well, isn't it honorable and like Christian to deny yourself? Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going into detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from which the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Denying yourself legitimate needs or wants doesn't make you more holy. It doesn't. Denying yourself a legitimate need or want doesn't make you more holy. This word, this big word, aestheticism, it's in there a couple times. It's this idea that if I deny myself physical desires, then I will be more holy. I will be more spiritual. This is where the celibacy vows come from. You know, this idea of, okay, if I don't allow myself to eat anything sweet, you know, I'm going to live like a hermit in the wilderness, and I'm only going to eat porridge, and I'm not going to wear nice clothes. I'm not going to brush my hair. I'm not going to wear makeup. I'm not going to do anything that would be taking care of myself. I'm going to deny it because I want to be holy and pious before God. That's hogwash. It really is. Paul even says, doing these things doesn't help you fight off spiritual temptations. It doesn't help you fight off sinful temptations. In fact, what it ends up doing is it leads to pride, judgmentalism, arrogance, and legalism most of the time. It just flat out leads to pride because this is what happens. This is the mindset here. I don't do that. You shouldn't do that. You're wrong for doing that. Everybody's wrong for doing that. And then the final one is, you are less of a person because you do that thing, and I am more because I don't. And that's where it comes from. It's this idea of these man-made regulations where it's not in the Bible. You know, nothing in here about a tattoo, maybe, or getting your ears pierced, you know, but I don't think that's right. I don't think someone should have a ring in their nose. Me neither. But it doesn't mean that they're evil. It doesn't mean they're sinning against God. It just means they're misgiven. Okay? And that's their choice. You know, or maybe get a big tattoo. Power to you. You know, you want a big tattoo? I don't want a big tattoo. But it doesn't mean that they're sinning against God. It doesn't mean that they're wrong because you decide that having a tattoo is not right for you. Does that make sense? You guys get that? And so, as Christians, sometimes we can deny ourselves worldly desires in this idea of, I'm going to be a Christian, and the next thing you know, we've segregated ourselves from the people that God wants us to love and minister to. And we're above them, and we're looking down on them because I'm living this holy Christian life that I made up by this big checklist that I have in my mind of all these things that I do and I don't do. And so other people who do those things must be wrong. Make sense? This is just not okay. And it leads to pride and arrogance and all kinds of bad stuff. So let's look at the second one. We looked at denying ourselves. We deny ourselves because it enslaves us. We deny ourselves because it causes a brother to stumble or because it's against Scripture. Okay? Those are the three main areas why we should deny ourselves. And when we do that, when we deny ourselves because it's enslaving us, we glorify God. We say, God, I don't want anything to control me but you. And we glorify God. When we deny ourselves because we're trying to prefer another brother or sister in Christ and lift them up, then we're glorifying God because we're saying, I'm putting them ahead of myself, God. I want to love you. And when we deny ourselves because God says not to, then we're saying, I want to follow your rules, not mine, God. And that's great. So how do we glorify God? By allowing ourselves to do things. This is the good part, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. It says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems the day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we all will stand before the judgment seat of God. Okay? And it goes on, and you should actually read the whole chapter tonight when you go home. But what Paul's talking about here is that we can allow ourselves things between us and God that we do in faith. And don't, in fact, let's go ahead and read that. Let's drop on down. Verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be evil, be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Okay, so we read the whole chapter. We kind of had to. Paul's talking about here, he says, we can allow ourselves to do things that we do in faith between us and God. And that's okay. In fact, we should allow ourselves to meet our needs. Okay? I think it was Rick Warren said this at the conference we went to. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that a pastor can do is go take a nap. And I think that goes beyond just the pastor. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you could do is go take a nap. Go get some rest. Sometimes we get so tired as Christians, we get stressed out because we don't take care of ourselves, we don't get the proper rest, we don't eat right, we don't do the things that our body is telling us to do. Maybe we don't brush our teeth in the morning or floss or wash our hair and just do the, this happens. I'm preaching to the moms now, okay? Because moms get in this state of, I'm taking care of everybody else except myself. And I believe that's wrong. You need to tell everybody else to shut up and go take care of yourself. Because what's going to happen is you're going to end up stumbling because you're not healthy. And you can't care for others if you're not healthy. Scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. I think it would be pretty scary for us to love our neighbor the way that we take care of ourselves sometimes. Really, it would. So I'm going to grab my neighbor, tie him up, jam him full of cholesterol, and make him watch crap TV all day. Wow, you know? That's not good. I'm gonna keep him for 3 days and not let him bath or shower, or, you know, I'm not gonna let him get any rest, or I'm gonna make him work 80 hours this week. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Don't be my neighbor. You know? And we do, when we push ourselves so hard and we deny ourselves, that we expect other people to deny themselves. And when other people complain, you know, say you worked 80 hours this week and someone comes in and they got a part-time job at like Sheetz, you know, and you're like, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. And you're like, shut up, you don't know what work is, right? Does that mean that they're not really tired? Or does that mean you just were so unloving and ungracious because you expect everybody else to be as miserable as you make yourself? And that's not loving. That's not loving at all. I believe God wants us to take care of ourselves. It's important that we establish habits of good hygiene as Christians. Use deodorant. Brush your teeth. Have a routine. This whole thing is staying up all night. And you know, I'm preaching to my generation now, okay? Because we get this idea. Okay, it takes me 20 minutes to get ready. So work is like 10 minutes away, so I'm a guy to get up a half hour before work. Right? You know, anybody out there want to fess up? You've been there? Yeah. Okay. And so then, like, the alarm goes off, and you're like a jackrabbit start. Pastor Joe told me this, you know, the worst thing on your car is a jackrabbit starts, Ron. Why are you always there? Because I get to the stoplight, and I'm like, turn green, turn green, turn green, turn. It turns green, and then I'm like, whoa! And then 35, I go, you know, and we do that to our bodies, you know. Our generation is horrible. And it, like, the alarm clock goes off and you roll out of bed and like you haven't even thought about what you want to accomplish that day. You haven't thought about you and God. You haven't organized your thoughts. You haven't taken care of yourself all that great. You're just running in, you know. Maybe you're skipping breakfast and then you're rushing off to work. And you think you're going to have a balanced day glorifying and honoring your Father in heaven. You think he likes that? You think God's like, wow, look at them. They're just doing so great. No. He's thinking, yeah, you idiot. What are you doing? Go to bed. Get some sleep. Wake up in the morning. Eat some good breakfast. Spend some time with me in prayer, reading the scripture. You know? Get your bearings. Get your mind in order and your spirit in order and your body in order. And then follow Christ throughout the rest of the day. But I don't know how many times, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't eaten. Because we're tracking our calories, you know. And I just looked, like this last Wednesday, I had like 22,000 calories, or 2,200 calories left over, like I was supposed to eat that day. And I'm like, what happened? And I like didn't eat dinner, like didn't eat lunch or something. And I'm like, that's just not healthy. It's not good. It doesn't honor God, and it's not honoring other people. But when we get to this place where we start to pass judgment on another person, it's really unhealthy. We can allow ourselves things between us and God that we do in faith. And don't you dare judge someone else who allows themselves to enjoy something that you're convicted about. Okay? So say, for instance, this happened to me before. You know, I meet somebody, I know they're a Christian, and they're walking to their house, and they got a big six-pack of beer. I'm like, oh, six. Dude, the old joke is this. Never, never go fishing with just one Baptist. Okay? And my friend Pete always tells us. He says, never take one Baptist fishing. Always take two. If you only take one Baptist fishing, they'll drink all your beer. You guys get it? Somebody laughed. Thank you. Like, you get it? It's supposed to be ha-ha. But it's this thing where, okay, I don't drink. There's alcoholism in my family. I grew up thinking, you know, you're going to burn in hell if you, like, if you smell rubbing alcohol, you're probably going to burn in hell. Like, you know, and so then this guy has this beer that he's taking, you know, what is this? What do we do with that? Or maybe you see someone and they're smoking a cigar, or they go to a restaurant that has a bar. I've heard this before. Someone criticized me because I went to a restaurant in town and they had a bar in it. I can't believe you would go in there, Ron. They have a bar in there, you know? And I'm like, well, their wings are really good, and we go in this dining room area, and well, I don't think that's right. Or someone, you shouldn't go to Applebee's, you know? Because they have a personal conviction about not going to a place that has a bar, which means you're stuck eating like Eaton Park and Denny's every day. But, you know, and that's not cool. But what about a style of music that people listen to? We can criticize people's style of music. I can't believe they're screaming. Oh, that's got to be just ungodly. They're screaming. How can that be edifying to anybody? You know, hey, you don't got to listen to it. You go home and listen to your country. Have at it, you know? Or what about a style of clothing or piercings or tattoos or all this host of things that the Bible doesn't really talk about? The Bible doesn't say don't listen to a screamo band. It's not in there. It doesn't say, you know, don't get your ear pierced or don't get your nose pierced. It does say don't lie, don't steal, don't shack up with your girlfriend or do something illegal. Things like that are in here. They're clear. And we should confront each other about those things. But the other things, the gray areas, you know, we don't need to be judging each other on that. That's just garbage. That gets in the way of us loving one another, giving each other grace, and growing in Christ. And that's one of the reasons the world is so turned off. Because we take and we make these man-made lists of you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, with good intentions. Because I want to live a holy life, and so I want to identify the things in my life that are not healthy for me and that are not good. Drinking beer for me would be a horrible mistake, because alcoholism is a serious issue in my family, and I don't want anything to do with that. And I would probably lose my family. I would lose my job. I would lose everything if I were to let that in my life. So I'm not going to do that. But for someone else who enjoys a beer on a hot day or something, you know? Who knows? I might get to heaven and God say, that was the most spiritual time we had together. Because that's when that guy was most relaxed and that's when he thought about me. I don't know. It would be wrong of me to judge them for that. It would be wrong of you to judge them for that too. So I know what's going to happen, and I'm going to wrap up here. But someone's going to go home and say, I could go drinking with my friends because Pastor Ron said it's okay. Yay! No, that's not what I said. And someone else is going to go home and say, Pastor Ron is compromising the integrity of God because he said someone could have a beer. You know what? Both of you guys are idiots. You really are. You're idiots, and you need to stop. You need to stop. You're not listening to anything. Both of you are wrong. You both need to repent of your garbage. You really do. What we need to do is this really cool thing called the priesthood of the believer. Okay, it's a big idea, but it's this priesthood of the believer thing. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple that prevented regular folks like me and you, in fact, we're Gentiles. We couldn't even go in the temple. It prevented regular folks like me and you from going into the holiest place, the most intimate place of God. It ripped in half. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached a message, God sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of you and you and you and me. And our job is to listen to what God says and to do it. Listen to what God says and to be obedient and do it. So I've said this my entire youth ministry. You know the music on your iPod. You know what's good and what's not. Make the right decision. You know if you should go drinking with your friends or not. Make the right decision. You know if you should go to that party. You know if you should watch that TV show. You know if you should watch that movie. You know if it's okay for you to have a drink or if you need to stay away from that. You know those things because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and is telling you. And so if you go home and you say, well, up until this point, I felt really guilty about it. But Ron said it's okay, so I'm going to shut up the Holy Spirit, you know? Or if you go home and you say, well, I don't trust other people to listen to the Holy Spirit. What? You're greater than God? Really? Because each one of us is going to stand before God someday and give an account of what we have done with our bodies. That's between you and God. And he's going to say, what was this about? I tried to talk to you about this and you didn't listen. Or why are we so uptight about everything? Why didn't you enjoy the creation that I made? Why are we so bitter and angry and just denying and not listening to the body that I gave you? I think it's going to go both ways. I think there's going to be a lot of repentance and there's going to be some stuff that needs to be taken care of. So tonight, as we stand up together, everybody bow your head and close your eyes. And just give yourself some privacy and the other people around you. I just want to ask, when you think about your body, your physical self, do you do a good job of taking care of the temple that God gave you? Are you doing well in that area? Are you caring well for yourself? If not, that's something you need to repent of because that's preventing your spiritual growth. It really is. Your physical body is a gift from God that we are to care for. And we are to listen to. When you're hungry, eat. Eat well. When you're tired, sleep. Sleep well. Take care of yourself. It's okay to buy nice clothes. It's okay to indulge yourself in treats and things that are yummy and good. That's fine. But listen to the Holy Spirit in your life and let him lead and guide. And let him start out your day. Start out your day by saying, God, I surrender my body to you. I give it into your hands. I pray that I will glorify you in everything I eat and drink and everything I do. That's a great way to start your day. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, I pray that you would help us. I believe tonight, Lord, there are some people here who this is kind of an icebreaker for them, that this is a whole new subject for them, this idea of caring for themselves, of using their body to glorify God in the choices that they make on a daily basis. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with them, Lord. God, my prayer is that people don't feel shame and guilt tonight, but that they hear the Holy Spirit saying, I can help. We can do this. I can help you with this. Because God, your desire is never just to make us feel rotten. Your desire is to grow us to a place of health. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'd speak that message loud and clear. That each individual here would hear that they have help. They have help. Lord, I pray they would become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that they would allow your power to indwell them, to help them identify the habits that they need to analyze, those cues and those routines and those rewards, and be able to kind of reprogram them through your power. Lord, help us to be people that live balanced lives in moderation, not going to crazy extremes. And I pray that when the outside world sees how we live, that we enjoy life to the fullest, that we just get the most out of your beautiful, awesome creation and the bodies you've given us, but we do it in a way that is clean and pure and beautiful, that they would be attracted to that. And they would say, I want to serve that kind of God that is so concerned that they know how many hairs I have on my head. Lord, I pray that we would honor you in our bodies throughout the rest of this week and moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we're so glad you came with us tonight. If I could get my musicians to come back up. We're going to go ahead and close with a song. But before we do, I want to just talk about the offering real quick. We do have an offering plate in the back over there. So, God is a giving God. And I lost my music. It's okay. It's right over here. God is a giving God, and He wants us to be giving people. So part of the way that we worship God at Oasis is by giving an offering. I'm looking at you because I took your music.
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, we're going to close with Jesus Paid It All. Oh, is this my music? Well, if this is my music, then let's close with Majestic. Let's close with Majestic. We'll get it figured out.
We will see you back tomorrow morning.